Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, May the 9th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have allowed us another day of worship, another day of study. As we come, we ask that you would continue to fill us with your love, that our hearts might reflect that love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today we've reached the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and we begin at verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, Sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, and henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were eliminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Steps to Christ, page 59, beginning at paragraph 4, says this. There are two errors against which the children of God, particularly those who have just come to trust in His grace, especially need to guard. The first, already dwelt upon, is that of looking to their own works, trusting to anything they can do to bring themselves into harmony with God. He who is trying to become holy by his own works in keeping the law is attempting an impossibility. All that man can do without Christ is polluted with selfishness and sin. It is the grace of Christ alone, through faith, that can make us holy. The opposite and no less dangerous error is that belief in Christ releases men from keeping the law of God, that since by faith alone we become partakers of the grace of Christ, our works have nothing to do with our redemption. But notice here, that obedience is not a mere outward compliance, but the service of love. The law of God is an expression of every nature, His every nature. It is an embodiment of the great principle of love, and hence is the foundation of His government in heaven and in earth. If our hearts are renewed in the likeness of God, if the divine love is implanted in the soul, will not the law of God be carried out in the life? When the principle of love is implanted in the heart, when man is renewed after the image of Him that created him, the new covenant promise is fulfilled. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Hebrews 10 and verse 16. And if the law is written in the heart, will it not shape the life? Obedience, the service, and an allegiance of love is the true sign of discipleship. Thus the scripture says, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Instead of releasing man from obedience, it is faith and faith alone that makes us partakers of the grace of Christ, which enables us to render obedience. We do not earn salvation by our obedience, for salvation is the free gift of God to be received by faith. But obedience is a fruit of faith. Ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Here is the true test. If we abide in Christ, if the love of God dwells in us, our feelings, our thoughts, our purposes, our actions will be in harmony with the will of God as expressed in the precepts of His holy law. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Righteousness is defined by the standard of God's holy law as expressed in the 10 precepts given on Sinai. That so-called faith in Christ, which professes to release men from the obligation of obedience to God, is not faith, but presumption. By grace are ye saved through faith, but faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Jesus said of Himself before he came to earth, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And just before he ascended again to heaven, he declared, I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. The scripture says, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. The condition of eternal life is now just what it always has been, just what it was in paradise before the fall of our first parents, perfect obedience to the law of God, perfect righteousness. If eternal life were granted on any condition short of this, then the happiness of the whole universe would be imperiled. The way would be open for sin, with all its train of woe and misery, to be immortalized. It was possible for Adam, before the fall, to form a righteous character by obedience to God's law, but he failed to do this. And because of his sin, our natures are fallen, and we cannot make ourselves righteous. Since we are sinful, unholy, we cannot perfectly obey the holy law. We have no righteousness of our own with which to meet the claims of the law of God, but Christ has made a way of escape for us. He lived on earth amid trials and temptations such as we have to meet. He lived a sinless life. He died for us, and now he offers to take our sins and give us his righteousness. If you give yourself to him and accept him as your Savior, then, sinful as your life may have been, for his sake you are accounted righteous. Christ's character stands in place of your character, and you are accepted before God just as if you had not sinned. More than this, Christ changes the heart. He abides in your heart by faith. You are to maintain this connection with Christ by faith and the continual surrender of your will to him. And so long as you do this, he will work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So you may say, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Jesus said to his disciples, it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Then with Christ working in you, you will manifest the same Spirit and do the same good works, works of righteousness and obedience. So we have nothing in ourselves of which to boast. We have no ground of self-exaltation. Our only ground of hope is in the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, and in that wrought by his Spirit working in and through us. When we speak of faith, there is a distinction that should be borne in mind. There is a kind of belief that is wholly distinct from faith. The existence and power of God, the truth of his word, are facts that even Satan and his host cannot at heart deny. The Bible says that the devil also believes and trembles. But this is not faith. Where there is not only a belief in God's word, but a submission of the will to him, where the heart is yielded to him, the affections fixed upon him, there is faith, faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Through this faith, the heart is renewed in the image of God. And the heart that is in being renewed finds itself resting in the love of God. Your heart given to Christ is bound up in the will of God and now delights in the holy principles and the holy precepts of God's law. The psalmist says, O how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the days. Psalm 119, verse 97. And the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There are those who have known the pardoning love of Christ and who really desire to be the children of God, yet they realize that their character is imperfect, their life faulty, and they are ready to doubt whether their hearts have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. To such I would say, do not draw back in despair. We shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and mistakes. But we are not to be discouraged. Even if we are overcome by the enemy, we are not cast off, nor forsaken and rejected of God. No, Christ is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Said the beloved John, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if ye sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And do not forget the words of Christ. The Father himself loveth you. He desires to restore you to himself, to see his own purity and holiness reflected in you. And if you will but yield yourself to him, he that hath begun a good work in you will carry it forward to the day of Christ Jesus. Pray more fervently. Believe more fully. As we come to distrust our own power, let us trust the power of our Redeemer, and we shall praise him who is the health of our countenance. The closer you come to Jesus, the more faulty you will appear in your own eyes, for your vision will be clearer, and your imperfections will be seen in broad and distinct contrast to his perfect nature. This is evidence that Satan's delusions have lost their power, that the vivifying influence of the Spirit of God is arousing you. Today, God is calling you to come closer to Jesus, so that you might more clearly see the faults in your own lives, that you must more clearly place trust in him, allowing him to be the one that guides and protects and corrects you in all that you do. There are those, as we read just now, who have known the pardoning love of Christ and who really desire to be children of God, but they realize that their character is imperfect. Today, you might realize that your character is imperfect, that your life is faulty. And sometimes, I believe, you're ready to doubt whether your hearts have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. Notice what the writer says here. Do not draw back in despair. We shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and our mistakes. We are not to be discouraged. Even if we are overcome by the enemy, we are not cast off, nor forsaken and rejected. Christ is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. This morning you can have the confidence of knowing that God is indeed with you, that he continues to guide you. When we speak of faith, remember, there is a distinction that should be borne in mind. There is a kind of belief that is wholly distinct from faith. The existence and power of God, the truth of his word, are facts that even Satan and his hosts cannot at heart deny. And remember what we said in James 2 and verse 19, that the devils also believe and tremble. But today, you can have faith in Christ. You can have faith in God. God has promised to guide you in the path of righteousness. He is the one that changes the heart. He will abide in your heart by faith. You are to maintain this connection with Christ by faith. He died for us, and now he offers to take our sins and give us his righteousness. As it was in the Garden of Eden, Adam could have avoided the fall, but he failed to do this. And because of his sin, our natures are fallen. But through Christ, who came to this earth and lived on this earth and overcame sin, we have an opportunity to walk with our Lord and Savior today. God is calling you. He's calling you into service. He's calling you to walk with him. He's calling you into obedience. He is willing to forgive. Will you turn your heart to him today? Will you say, Lord, help me to overcome those weaknesses in my being, so that I might reflect you in everything that I do. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to guide, that you continue to correct us, that you continue to strengthen us. We recognize our need of faith, and we know that without it, we can accomplish nothing. So we place ourselves in your care today, asking that you would fill us with the faith that is necessary. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is Morning Manna, May the 9th, 2020.